Today's May 18th, 2015. This is the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. We have four bills scheduled for a work session today. So the first work session we'll open is on Senate Bill 255. And we'll turn it over to Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 255 relates to registration fees for products used to treat animals. The bill increases the statutory cap on the Department of Agriculture's veterinary products registration fee from $75 to $150. The fee is the sole source of other funds revenue for the animal health program. The current fee is at the maximum $75, and it was last increased in 2003. The bill does include an emergency clause. I would just note that for all these bills, information is available on OLIS, including the staff measure summary, preliminary ways and means staff measure summary, fiscal impact statement, and some measure history. The department estimates that it may have to raise the fee to $100 during the 15-17 biennium. If the fee were to raise to $100, it would generate approximately $75,000 annually. No revenue from this increase is assumed in House Bill 5002, the budget bill for the Department of Agriculture. If the department were to raise fees during the 15-17 biennium, they would either need to have the fee revenue approved in the 16 session or submit a fee ratification bill during the 2017 session. LFO recommends the measure be moved to the full committee on Ways and Means.
All right. And actually, if we bring up Director Koble really quickly. And I just wanted to clarify that industry is not opposing this. I think there was some question on the dais about that.
Mr. Chair, good morning. For the record, Katie Koba, Director of the Department of Agriculture. Yes, that is correct. We're not aware of any opposition to this fee bill or the other two that you're going to hear. We work very hard with our fee payers when we're preparing to look at a fee increase. And we've done that with all of these bills. And as I said, we had testimony in support of the bills in the policy committees, and we're not aware of any opposition to this bill.
All right. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to move the LFO recommendation.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You
want the motion first?
Let's do the motion and then we'll go into questions after that.
I'd move the LFO recommendation.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Representative Gomberg moves the LFO recommendation, and Representative Gomberg, you had some questions.
I did. Good morning, Director.
Good morning.
So if I'm reading this correctly, these SNUP fees would go into effect in about 5 weeks?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gomberg, what happens with this is it increases the cap in statute. If we're going to actually raise the fee, we would go through an administrative rule process. So we would start that process post-session into the next year. And a lot of it is depending on whether there is general fund put into this program. So once we know what the budget for this program looks like upon signee die, then we would go back to our fee payers. We would do an assessment of the program, do our revenue projections for the coming biennium, determine if a fee increase does need to happen, and then we would go through an administrative rule process to put that fee increase in place.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Actually, which leads me to the question that I ask all too frequently here, the reason for the emergency clause.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gomberg, I'm not actually sure. It may have just been what the drafters put in when they drafted it, and if that's standard protocol for fee increases, that could be the case. We would have to go through a process, an administrative rule process. So if the emergency clause was not in the bill, that's not a problem for us.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I could just observe, more often than not, I'm hearing requesters of bills saying, gee, I don't know why we had an emergency clause, which is a little bit disconcerting.
Yeah.
Not to the drafters, or excuse me, not to the requesters, but that we're seeing emergency clauses all over the place for reasons that people don't really know.
Representative Parrish.
And I just want to clarify, thank you. This is a fee that you charge to a pharmaceutical company who registers a product that they want to use here for somebody's critter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Parrish, that's correct. Any vet products remedy that is sold in the state of Oregon has to be registered with us. And in order to do that, they pay this fee. So it's a wide range of products from something you would typically use on livestock to products that you would buy in a pet store for your cat, as an example.
So in the fee is currently $75?
Mr. Chair, Representative Parrish, that's correct. It is at the cap.
Okay. And is there a new cost you're incurring to register these, something that is different than what you're currently doing, or really this is just a way to, I mean, you need a revenue raise?
Mr. Chair, Representative Parrish, in this program we have a mixture of fee sources. We have general fund, we have other funds, and federal funds. And this, as LFO staff indicated, we've been at the cap in this program for quite some time. Obviously, our ongoing costs to run this program have increased over time. And the other thing that we're experiencing is fluctuations in the amount of federal funds that we receive. And so, as I said, once we know the budget for this program for the coming biennium, we then sit down with our fee payers and say, this is the revenue that we're projecting, these are the costs that we have. In order to fill that gap, this is the kind of fee increase that we would need.
More follow-up. So when you say your cost to the program, I'm assuming it's the human capital cost of no, like, new technological cost changes. It's really you have employment costs that are going up on the people side of the ledger.
Mr. Chair, Representative Parrish, that is the biggest driver for most of our programs, are the cost of our employees. But we also do laboratory analysis in this program, and obviously that's a cost that we incur. Another example, this is the program that's responding to the avian influenza outbreak. So we've had a pretty significant cost in the last few months. We're hoping that the feds are going to reimburse that. But this is a disease that has a very large outbreak all throughout the United States, and the price tag is rising very significantly. And we're not sure, to be honest with you, how much the federal government is going to reimburse us for those costs.
Any other questions? Yes, Senator Hensel.
Yeah, I'm. If we don't need an emergency clause, I don't. I'm not supportive of that, and I'm concerned. I mean, we're increasing 100%, and is it a one-time fee? I mean, they register it once, and then it's no longer.
It's up to.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hensel, it is an annual fee. So if you register a product in the state, it's an annual cost for those individuals that are registering those products. We understand, again, just because we're raising the amount in the statute, the cap to 150 does not mean we necessarily have to go to 150, but we have asked for general fund in this program in the past and have not received that support. If we don't get the general fund request, we are looking at potentially going to the cap in the probably within the next 2 to 3 years. We have spent time with our fee payers going over all that information. As I indicated, they're supporting this increase. They recognize the need for the program.
Senator Dembrough.
Just a comment and then a question. You know, regarding the emergency clause, I assume that that's there to allow the agency to start the rulemaking process during the summer and the fall. Otherwise, they might have to wait until the winter.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dembrough, I apologize because I've forgotten now, if you don't have the emergency clause, what the implementation time is. It now six months?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would, a couple things. First of all, these bills, as introduced by the agency, represent the governor's budget. The governor's budget had no general fund or additional state support for this program. There are two sections that are being talked about. Section 2 allows the department to, in essence, change the fee. It says that takes effect July 1, 2015. Intends the State Department of Agriculture may make annual registration fees adopted by department on rule on or before 30 days after the effective date. So it would allow them to administratively change the fee and still charge it if they got it done, I guess, in 30 days. And then the emergency clause, I believe the department was initially under the governor's budget worried that they would need to increase the fees quickly after session ended. I don't believe that's a concern anymore. So I don't believe that the emergency clause is necessarily at this point, but I would defer to the department.
Mr. Chair. I don't think that we need the emergency clause if that was an issue for people.
So, Senator Dembrough.
Yeah. So I assume that the companies paying this registration fee have to do the same thing in all the states in which they operate. And how do our fees line up with those other states?
Mr. Chair, Senator Denbrough, for the record, Lisa Hansen, Deputy Director with the Department of Agriculture. Oregon is actually unique. We are one of few states that have this fee on veterinary products. It's very similar to what we do in the pesticide program and in our fertilizer program for registering products that we track for sales in the state and use it as a core part of the funding for those animal health programs.
So we have a motion pending to move the LFO recommendation. Is there any more discussion on the motion? Yes, Senator Hansel.
We have one retired veterinarian in the, at least in the Senate. Has anybody talked with Senator Whitsitt on this, and where is his position?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, and I can also defer to Lisa as well. We try to stay in very close communication with Senator Whitsitt. He has a very strong interest in this program. He has been an advocate over time for increased general fund to put in the program. So I think if he was sitting here with us today, he would advocate to not have a fee increase and to increase the general fund. That's not what the governor's recommended budget proposed for this program.
Is there any further discussion on the motion?
I mean, so I'm going to be a no. I do think the jump is a significant jump. There's no, I mean, I know that there's costs going up, but if we're going to have those costs, I really do think they should be a general fund rather than the fee increase. And particularly given the fact that, you know, we did have a bump in our projected revenue that to go after kind of what I see, not just by this agency, but across the board, we're seeing this, like, we're just going to keep doing this incremental fee piece. I'm just going to be new today and hope that we can, in the full ways and means, they can have a conversation about some additional general funds to programs like the Department of Agriculture, who frankly do provide a really important service, but, you know, the fee-based model that is not sustainable over a long period of time.
Yes, Senator
Hansel. I will also be a no vote.
Okay. Yes,
Representative. And as much as I absolutely hate to do that, because I am completely supportive of the work of this department, I too will be.
Okay.
You will be a no vote?
Yeah.
So we'll stand at ease for a moment.
I'm going to either. Yeah.
Emergency clause. Should we have an amendment?
All right, we're back to order. And Representative Hack.
I'll be a courtesy vote here today in the committee, but we'll probably be a no on the floor.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, Senator Hansel.
If we were going to amend it and take out the emergency clause, because that is a factor in my vote, when would be the time to do that?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator.
It would probably be best that if that was recommended that it be done conceptually here. We don't let, please, if the Secretary of the Senate's listening or the Chief Clerk of the House, and I say the word conceptual, don't rush down here.
Get me in trouble, Senator.
But I think we could recommend that it, that
Section 2 and 3.
That sections 2 and 3 on the first page of the bill, lines 24 through 30, be removed.
We need a revised motion.
Okay. Need to who made the original motion, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Gomberg.
You need me to just rescind my motion?
And before we do that, just to discuss on that, it is my understanding that the rationale for having the emergency clause in the bill would be this is dealing with the 2015-17 biennium, and there may be a need for that in there, because that's some real specific language that appears to be drafted intentionally. And so I want to make sure that the department is actually okay removing the emergency clause. And having the specific language on the implementation 30 days after July 1st, 2015.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe the reality of that would be that the department would not be able to raise the fee the first year of the biennium. that they would have to wait till the second year of the biennium to raise the fee if they were going to raise the fee, because the fees go in effect July 1st for all products, so that they would essentially have a year. So they would have plenty of time if they were going to raise the fee to come back, for example, in the February 2016 session and notify the assembly that they were going to do that and request limitation for that increase.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, wasn't there language in there that the fees could be retroactive to this July?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get rid of both of those. That's what I'm saying.
That's section 2 and 3.
So, Mr. Chair, maybe I can kind of walk through timing for you. We send out our annual renewals in May. If the emergency clause is taken out, then this bill would not go into effect, as I understand it, until 6 months following sine die. So let's assume January 1st. Mm-hmm. We would not be able to start rulemaking until January 1st, which is a pretty tight time frame for us to get through the rulemaking process and have the fee in place for registration that would go out next May. We would not do a retroactive fee increase. So we would not go back to fee payers that are currently receiving their annual renewals and do a second renewal increase for this year. It would be the timing between rulemaking starting January 1st and having that in place for our renewals, which would go out in basically next April, May. That's the challenge we face if the emergency clause is taken out.
So you prefer the measure as drafted?
It makes our lives a little bit easier, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Devlin.
Revising my earlier commentary, perhaps even with the no votes that we'd have, unless we would, of course, hope we'll have a courtesy vote, perhaps it would be best not to attempt to amend this now, simply forward it on with recommendation to the full, and that debate would probably occur there. And if the bill does experience a problem there, it would probably be sent back to this committee to be revised when we had more time to consider it. So I think it'd be best to proceed with the original motion if we have a courtesy vote. If not, we can simply put this over till the next meeting, which is probably better than not having the emergency clause at this point.
Mr. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, since I'm the guy that raised the emergency question in the first place, let me say that I'm completely satisfied with the director's explanation here. My frustration is that I have to regularly ask whether the emergency clauses attached to so many bills are appropriate or not. In this case, it sounds like it would be appropriate.
And Mr. Chair, if I might,
yes,
this is deja vu for me in a sense, and I just want to say to the committee, I appreciate the discussion. We had this discussion a couple of sessions ago. My staff do not like me to bring this issue back up, but we proposed a fee on pet food to support this program and had a rousing debate about general fund versus fee support for this program. I think everyone that we've talked to recognized the importance of this program. The challenge is how you fund it, and this is an issue that is not solely related to this program, but it's a challenge that we're facing in natural resources agencies as a whole. The reality is we get very little general fund to support our agencies, and if that's the reality of the world that we're living in, and if we're going to actually have a program that's effective and works for the industry, and if we don't have the general fund, then we need revenue from somewhere else. So that's... Again, I just want to say that I appreciate and I don't take this debate in any way as being non-support for the program, more of welcome to our world in terms of the challenges that we face to fund these very, very important programs in natural resources agencies.
Yeah,
so thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Director Koba. Yes, Representative Parrish.
So when you talk about the rulemaking process for this, I mean, it's established program. So what new rulemaking do you anticipate that has to go around?
Mr. Chair, Representative Parrish, it would actually be a specific rule about where the fee would go. So it's currently at 75. If we received an influx of federal funds, for example, that we were not anticipating, and maybe the shortfall could be filled with a $10 increase, then we would go through a rulemaking process to take the rule from $75 to $85. What this provides is a cap in statute that we could not exceed 150, but we can go short of 150. So we bring our fee payers back in, we look at our books, we look at our revenue, we indicate this is what we feel we need to do in terms of a fee increase, and then set that in rule and have a public hearings process.
Okay.
All right, is there any further discussion on the motion before the committee? All right. With that, is there any objection to the motion? Senator Hansel objects, and Representative Parrish objects. The motion.
Giving a courtesy vote today.
And Representative Hack will be giving a courtesy yes vote. All right, and so the motion passes. And who will carry this to full? Representative Gomberg, are you?
Sure.
All right, and will you carry it to the House floor?
With pleasure, Mr. Chairman.
All right, and then on the Senate floor?
Sure.
All right, Senator Dembro. With that, we'll go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 255, and we'll pass the gavel over to
Mr. Chairman. Contrary to our tradition in this committee, I'd prefer today that you keep the gavel.
Okay. Because
I'm a little bit preoccupied with the bill that might be on the Senate floor.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So with that, we'll go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 256. Mr. Siebert.
Senate Bill 256A relates to businesses dealing in plants. The bill raises the caps, again, on license fees for both Christmas tree growers and nurseries. The bill also updates nursery inspection laws to incorporate national model law guidance developed by the National Plant Board. If fees were increased, the new caps would raise $426,206 in additional revenue per biennium. The Department of Agriculture does not anticipate raising these fees during the 15-17 biennium. I would note that the department raised them during this interim. I believe that those increases will be up for ratification in House Bill 5003, the fee ratification bill for the department. And while those revenues are assumed in the department's budget, no additional revenues from this change are assumed in the budget. So therefore, LFO recommends the measure be moved to the full committee on Ways and Means.
And Mr. Siebert, there is no emergency clause in there. Director Kova, is there anything you'd like to add?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I would point out that both the nursery and the Christmas tree programs are 100% other funds. We do not get general fund in these programs. This is a completely self-supported program. Again, prior to bringing this bill forward, we worked very, very closely with the nursery and Christmas tree grower representatives, and they are supportive of these increases.
And so do we have a motion to move Senate Bill 256A to the full committee with a due pass recommendation?
I'm going to be a no. I'm looking at the bill again. I'm sorry. Let's get a motion first. Sorry. I thought we'd already discussed that.
So we're looking for a motion to move Senate Bill 256A to the full committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
Senator Devlin moves Senate Bill 256 with the due pass recommendation. Representative Parrish.
So a couple of things. So I am going to be a no again. Fairly substantial, even if they're not taking the fee hike, fairly substantial cap increase that we at putting in the statute. The other piece, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, is sort of this notion of an expedited, we've seen this in transportation when I was on the transportation committee, sort of like the, if you pay more, you can jump the line and get your license, you know, passed faster. And I just, that may work for Disneyland, but I just don't think that works for government. It's a philosophical for me that, that's the way we can take more money for something that costs the same, but somebody else in line who either can't afford to or doesn't, you know, that's not an expense of their business or as an individual, depending, we do this in other areas of the law too, create this sort of expedited process for more money. And I just don't, it's a philosophical for me. I'm thinking now.
Mr. Chair, I may jump in just to clarify again.
Please.
I do want to note that it was the nursery industry that actually recommended the caps go to the level that they're at. The department was at a lower level, but we worked in concert with them. And then I think you're referring to the new certification process. Mm-hmm. That is not an expedited go to the front of the line program.
Okay.
It really is a new way to certify nursery stock and would give us clear authority in statute to be able to do that. But it's not as it appears in terms of an expedited you get to go to the front of the line program.
Sort of reads that way in the bill, but okay.
Representative Hack?
Nope, I'm good. She answered it.
All right.
I'm good.
All right. Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to the motion? Representative Parrish objects to the motion. Motion carries. I'll go ahead and carry this to the full and on the House floor and then on the Senate floor. Senator Hansel will carry it, and we'll go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 256, open a work session on House Bill 2443,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2443 relates to soil enhancing products, otherwise known as fertilizer. The bill would increase some Department of Agriculture fertilizer program fees to make $70,000 other funds available for research grants related to fertilizer and water quality. The measure also increases a fertilizer product evaluation fee to a maximum of $500 due to the complexity of new products being evaluated by the department. The bill makes changes to the existing statutes to comply with national standards recommended by the Association of Plant Control Officials. The measure has an approximate $52,000 revenue impact in 1517, which is assumed in House Bill 5002, the budget bill for the Department of Agriculture. Legislative Fiscal recommends the measure be moved to the full Committee on Ways and Means.
All right, Director Koba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, this is a program that is 100% other funded, full cost paid by the registration of fertilizer products. And then, as LFO staff indicated, the increase in the analysis that we are conducting on fertilizer products, we are seeing more and more creativity around the kinds of fertilizer products being registered in the state, and our cost for doing analytical analysis has gone up. Again, that would be a cost recovery basis. So if the cost to do the analysis was only $50, that's what we would charge. If it was $500, that's what we would charge, not to exceed $500. And I may also note the research is an issue that was really driven by the industry. Senator Hansel, actually in your area, in terms of some of the groundwater limited issues in the Umatilla Basin, the industry came to us 4 years ago asking to restart up the research component of the fertilizer program. We had indicated to them at that time that if we were going to use expenditures there, that means we would be coming back for a fee increase sooner rather than later, and that sooner time has come, and so that's why we're in front of you today. Again, we worked with the industry, and they're supporting this fee increase.
Okay, so do we have a motion to move House Bill 2443 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation?
I just, for the record, if I'm...
We'll get a motion first, okay. And then we'll open it up.
So moved.
All right, Senator Dembrow moves House Bill 2443 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Senator Hansel.
I'm very supportive of this. I think a lot of work has gone into it. It's a good bill, and if it's not too premature, I'd be happy to carry it in both opportunities, floor and on the floor.
Absolutely. Is there any other discussion to the motion? I'm seeing none. Is there any objection to the motion? The motion carries. We'll have Senator Hansel carry to the full in the Senate floor. And then Representative Gomberg, would you, or actually, Representative Hack, would you be willing to carry
Absolutely.
It on? All right.
Thank
we'll
you.
Have Representative Hack carry it on the House floor. Okay. And we'll close the work session on 2443 and open a work session on 2452. Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, one of these bills is not like the other. House Bill 2452 would abolish the Fish and Wildlife Deferred Maintenance subaccount and transfer the unobligated funds remaining in the subaccount to the State Wildlife Fund. The subaccount was originally established in response to a financial management audit conducted by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. And in 2002, I would note that that was staffed by Ken Rocco. The audit found that cash advances were taken from the Fish Endowment account to cover cash flow issues in response to lower than expected revenues from licenses and fees. The Fish Wildlife Deferred Maintenance subaccount was established with tighter requirements on the use of funds, and specifically required interest be paid to the subaccount if the funds were borrowed for uses outside of those specified. In reality, the department rarely borrowed monies from the subaccount to use as working capital. The transfer in this bill would increase the department's ending fund balance to help meet the department's working capital needs. Currently, the balance of the subaccount is approximately $1.5 million other funds. The transfer of this $1.5 million is assumed in the co-chair's budget for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
All right, so do we have a motion to move House Bill 2452 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation?
I move the recommendation, Mr. Chair.
All right, Senator Dembrow moves the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, is there any objection to the motion? Well, seeing no objection, the motion carries. I'll go ahead and carry that to the full and the House floor, and then who will carry that to the Senate floor? Is there any? Senator Dembrow will carry it to the Senate floor. We'll go ahead and close the work session on House Bill 2452. And with that, we'll adjourn the meeting.
And Mr. Chairman of the committee, I would just note that there's no meeting tomorrow, and then there will be four more bills on Wednesday's schedule, and then a work session on the Water Resources Department budget on Thursday.
You say no meeting tomorrow.
No meeting tomorrow.
Say no meeting tomorrow.
No meeting.